Genesis chapter 6, the book of Genesis chapter 6. And if my eyesight serves me right, I believe I see Miss Annis Bernard in our service. Am I right? There you are. Bless your heart. Good night. That's a blessing. It's good to see you. And I'm not dizzy right now, so I can see you good, okay? Very good. Outstanding. Love to give you an opportunity to speak tonight if you feel up to it. I don't want to force that on you. But if you feel up to it, we'll have you share your testimony tonight. If that's okay, that'd be a blessing. Very good. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought on Bible fathers. On Mother's Day, we shared a thought on Bible mothers. Now it's Father's Day. We're going to share a thought on Bible fathers. And I'm praying that the Lord will help us through this and help me through it. May His will be done. Our Father, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We ask that You'll help us now to teach and preach with clarity and understanding, compassion in our hearts and minds. May Your will be done this day. May You forgive my sins. Help me through this. And I pray that You help all of this to be exactly what You want it to be. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "The glory of children are their fathers." You know, one of the greatest honors the Lord gives to a man is to have His blessing upon their union with their wife, and she gives birth to a child. It's truly an exalted privilege to become a father. As a matter of fact, it was such a blessing to remember when my wife told me for the first time that I was going to be a daddy. And then when we went to the doctor and saw Judson for the first time on the ultrasound, that was great. Along with this, now we have a little girl. Both of these children often look at me and call me daddy. And you know, this is an amazing blessing given to me by my Heavenly Father. In a world where many men look upon it as a burden to have children, this dad that you're looking at is excited and grateful that the Lord has blessed me in this wonderful way. Now with this comes great responsibility. If you're a dad today, you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. As a matter of fact, there's a poem that goes like this. There's little eyes upon you and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word that you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything that you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise, and his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devotedly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boys who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. You know, there was a dad that told to other people, he said this, and I quote, he said, "I'm no model father." He said, "All I'm trying to do is behave so that when people tell my son that he reminds me of them, that he reminds them of me, he'll stick out his chest instead of his tongue." Think about that a little bit. And you know, on this special occasion of Father's Day, I felt the Lord leading me in the same way that He led me for Mother's Day. In other words, we're going to be doing a brief survey, if you will, of Bible fathers, and bring out some practical lessons that we can all learn from their stories. Now, in this, I trust the Lord will encourage and convict all of us to make us everything that He wants us to be. Now, the first Bible father we're going to look at today is found in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's a man by the name of Noah. And we're going to read some verses of Scripture here together. Look at chapter 6, verse number 5. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Look at verse number 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Look at verse number 22 of chapter 6. "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Then in verse number 1 of chapter 7, "The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Look at verse number 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because the waters of the flood. Look at verse number 23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now this first father that we're considering is a man by the name of Noah. Now after the fall of Adam and Eve, man became exceeding wicked upon the face of the earth. The Lord saw all these things and was going to send a flood on the earth to destroy the people. However, he made his judgment known to Noah and told Noah to build an ark. Now, even though rain had never been seen, Noah believed the Lord and built an ark. Now, after the ark was finished, the Lord told Noah to get inside the ark along with his family as the flood was going to be coming very soon. Noah obeyed and got inside the ark along with his family. Now, the flood came just like the Lord had said. And only Noah and those who were on the inside of the ark survived along with him. Now, the lesson that we can all learn from this first Bible father is this. It is to get our family on board. No doubt about it. See, the ark is a type of the safety that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ from the upcoming judgment of God that will take place someday. Therefore, fathers should make sure that they are on board and make sure they try to get their entire family on board with them. This is the main thing in life. I'm talking about making sure that you and your family are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ from the upcoming judgment. That is the main thing in life. Now, I'm testing myself today. I'm going to be going up and down and hope I don't go down to stay. Amen. But I'm telling you that the main thing in life today is for daddies to make sure that they are ready to meet God. And at the same time, make sure their families are on board with them. You know, in a home of 10 children, the college question came up this several years ago in front of the father. And one of the children said to the dad, and I quote, he said, "If you had used the great brains you have in the law business instead of being a preacher, we would all have had a chance to go to college and you would have had enough money to send all of us to college." The one who tells his story said that he saw his dad turn towards the window when this one ungodly son said this to him, son or daughter, whatever it was. And when the dad turned back, he had tears running down his cheeks. And the dad made this statement, said, "Yes, that is the truth. I could have done that, but when you woke up in hell, you would have cursed me far worse than you do now. Children, money isn't everything, and I will try to leave you an inheritance that is incorruptible, that does not fade away. And when I'm gone, you will know one thing, and that is that I knew Jesus." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's what life is all about. And Paul Rader said, "Oh, I'm glad that he didn't sell out to what his children were trying to sell him." I'm saying the first major father that we're looking at today in the Word of God is a man by the name of Noah, and we learn that he got on board and got his family on board, and you as a father need to make sure you're on board and try to get your family on board with you. One startling bit of research conducted by the Christian Business Men's Committee found this following fact: when the father is an active believer, there's about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. But if the mother only is a believer, that likelihood is dramatically dropped or reduced to 15%. Now think about that. Fathers, there is a future judgment of God coming. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, it's coming. And it's found written in the pages of God's holy word, Revelation 20, verses 10 to 15. You can read it later. This is the time, especially as a dad, to make sure that you and your family are ready to meet the Lord in judgment. If judgment day is today, I want to ask you a question. I'm asking everybody this, but specifically fathers on Father's Day, are you ready? I'm talking about you, isn't it? Are you ready? On top of that is your family. Now, by the way, you can't make that decision for them. If you're like me, you wish you could, right? Have y'all have an unsaved child or grandchild? Would you raise your hand? You have an unsaved child or grandchild? Yes. Don't you wish to God you could go and reach inside them and change their heart and make that decision for them? Sure you do. I'm not preaching that. You cannot make that decision. But you can make sure that you warn them. And you can make sure you tell them the truth. And you can make sure that you bombard them with the Word of God and ask God to get a hold of their hearts. This first father's Noah, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Now I'll say that and I'll fall off this platform. But anyway, have y'all ever had an inner ear? Would you raise your hand if you've had an inner ear? I think that's what it is. I hope that's what it is, you know. But this first father that we're learning about is a man by the name of Noah. And this man teaches us that we need to make sure we are on the ark and try to get our children on it with us. That's a great lesson, isn't it? Let me give you a second lesson. Our second father is found in the book of Genesis chapter 13. Turn to it with me, please. Genesis chapter 13, look at verse number 5. Our next father is the man by the name of Lot. Genesis 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Look at chapter 19, chapter 19 of this same book. Look at verse number 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Verse number 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. We will destroy this place, because the cry then is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. When he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. They brought him forth and set him without the city. Verses 33 through 38 teaches us in this text. I'm just going to paraphrase this, but as you know, his wife looks back and becomes a pillar of salt. And then his daughters in verses 33 through 38 get him drunk as their daddy and have incest with him, commit incest with him, and they both are bearing the seed of their own father, which is where the Ammonites and the Moabites come into picture. Now this second father that we're looking at by the name of Lot, let me paraphrase what we just read. He is on display for us, and he is one of the fathers that every one of God's children, specifically God's fathers, I'm talking about fathers who are God's children, can learn from. Now here's a just man. We find this in the New Testament that Lot was a just or a saved man. Here this just man pitches his tent towards Sodom. Now after this, he moves his family into the land of Sodom, which was a place of wickedness before the Lord. Now the Lord is going to rain fire and brimstone down upon this ungodly place, but first sends two angels to get Lot and his family out. Now as Lot tells his sons-in-law about the coming judgment, they do not take him serious. The angels have to lay hold of him and his wife and his daughters, and place them outside the city. Then the Lord destroys the city, and later Lot is drunk and commits incest with his own two daughters, of which Moab of the Moabites and Benami of the Ammonites are born. Now you say, Jody, what are you doing? I'm giving you a Bible father. I'm giving you some scripture, then I'm paraphrasing the scripture. I'm giving you a summary statement, then bringing out the lesson that we can learn from it. And the lesson we learn from this father is that the effects of moving your family into the city limits of Sodom are devastating. Now stay with me. Sodom is a type or a picture of the world and all of its wickedness. And when Lot moved his family into this city, it destroyed his family. Now folks, stay with me here. In the same way, fathers should make sure their families are dwelling in the land that pleases God and not dwelling in the spiritual land of Sodom. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Fathers, let me ask you a question. Where has your family taken up residency? Are you in the land of Sodom? Are you close to the world? Are you dwelling inside the borders because of what you hear and what you see? By the way, it's amazing. I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd have to check that because I'm going by my memory right now, and that's dangerous. But I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It says that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day by what he saw and by what he heard. You can read it for yourself. You know what got Lot in trouble? His eyes and his ears. And in the world, that's exactly what's going to attack you to try to get you inside the borders. There'll be sounds you like. There'll be things you like to see. But if you move inside that border, it'll destroy you and your family. Major lesson number one is a man by the name of Noah. And that father, we learned that we ought to make sure we are on board and make sure our family's on board with us. Second father is Lot. He moved his family inside. First of all, he only pitched his tent toward Sodom. But then we see him inside the land of Sodom. And if you pitch your tent towards the world, you'll eventually go down into the world. And if you go down into the world, that major lesson number two, it will destroy your family. The world is not out as your friend. It's an enemy of God and an enemy of you. And if you decide you're going the world's way, it will take its toll in your life. That's the second father. The third father is found in the same book in chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now I hope you see what I'm doing today. I'm giving you one major thought, that's Bible fathers. But then there's major lessons we can learn from each one of them. And I don't necessarily expect you to go home and say, boy, wasn't point three good. No, I'm expecting something in this message to hit you. I'm going to give you four this morning and four tonight, God willing, tonight. If not, preacher will actually be preaching. Whether he knows that or not, he'll be preaching, I guess. I'm doing good right now. Amen. No doubt about it. By the way, let me stop here and say, a lot of you are concerned about me going to Texas tomorrow. Have y'all been concerned about me going to Texas? Would you be honest? You're concerned about that? Very good. Very good. I was praying this morning, I asked the Lord to give me a direct answer to prayer. This is off the subject. This is free, okay? But God has spoken to me every single solitary time I need Him to speak to me. He spoke to me again this morning. Now, I'm still seeking Him because I'm asking Him to confirm this in my mind. But in my devotional reading, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I feel like I need to do this. In my devotional reading, here's what I read. Now, keep in mind, I'm due to fly out tomorrow. I'm due. I'm not saying I'm going. I said I'm due to fly out tomorrow. I've got a youth camp in Texas Monday to Thursday, and then I'm flying back into Atlanta to meet our teenagers going on the mission trip. So next weekend, I will be with our teenagers from Friday, really, to the next Saturday. So pray for me, please, as we're in a mission trip in Florida. But as I was in my devotional reading today, here's what jumped off the page to me. Now, I'm still not convinced all the way in my heart, you know, because I'm not 100%. But here's what it says. Now keep in mind. By the way, we'll get back to the message in just a moment. Psalm 139, verse 9. Keep in mind, here it is. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. When I saw those words, the wings of the morning, and I thought to myself, I'm flying on an airplane in the morning. God's speaking to me. Now, I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to go. I want to do what God wants me to do. The best I know how, he's telling me to go. But if he knocks me off my feet and I'm laid out preaching to you up here with my feet straight up and my head straight up, then maybe he's confirming to me that I don't need to go. But I'm feeling pretty good right now. So you just pray that I'll do the right thing. Amen. You pray I'll do the right thing. Why'd I do that? I don't know, but I feel like the church needed to hear that. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, we come to our third father. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read 12 verses here. I'm reading this because I want you to get this. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That word tempt means test. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him of. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, in this chapter here, what we see is in our text another father being put on display for us. And this father we can all learn from. Now, in this story, we see God testing Abraham with his only son by the name of Isaac. Now, the Lord told Abraham to offer Isaac up to him on Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Now, verse 3 tells us that Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, question. If God told you to offer your only son, would you get up early to do it? Abraham got up early to do this and began his journey to the place of God's choosing. Now, he bound his son Isaac and took a knife to slay him. As he took the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord calls unto him and stops him. Then the Lord told him, and I quote, For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now here's the major lesson we learn from this father. We've looked at Noah, we've looked at Lot, now let's look at Abraham. The lesson we learn from this chapter is this, and what a lesson it is. And that is that the Lord is to be put first in the family. In other words, we see Abraham, get this now folks, we see Abraham putting the Lord before his own son Isaac. Now this goes to show that we are to love the Lord supremely, even above our children. Now in a world where Christians are putting children, now get this, whom the Lord has given them. Now, did you get that part right there? These children are a love gift from God, folks. They are a gift from God. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and consult with Hannah and see what she has to say about it. Children are a gift from God. There's no doubt about it.
And in a world where God gives his children gifts, they are taking these gifts and putting them above him and his will for their lives. You know what we need? We need Christian fathers in this church who will determine to put the Lord first above their own children. You know, if it comes down, now, I just want you to be honest with yourself and with the Lord today. If it comes down to what your child wants and what the Lord wants, which one are you going to do? Do you realize that a majority, I hate to say this, but a majority of Christian fathers put their children above God? They do it in sports. Amen. They do it in everything under the sun. Because they think to themselves, I'm going to lose my child if we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if we do all these things and we become fanatical about it, I'm going to lose my kid. But I'd rather lose them to the will of God than the world. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something here, folks. This is a major lesson for all of us to use. And all of us men who are fathers to learn from. And that is, we are to put God first, not our children, not our spouse, not our jobs. Man, I'm feeling good right now. I'm talking about we are to put God first in our lives. That's what we're to do. How many, listen to me, do you think a crowd this size, do you think that there are men who are fathers who are putting their children above God? Sure. It's happening all across America. And I'm going to tell you something. When I came from that camp up in Michigan, and that's when all these troubles start hitting me. I think it's flying. You know what I mean? Woo, all this kind of stuff. Whatever. We had a touch of revival up there. I'm talking about, I think we had 6 teenagers trust the Lord as their Savior that week. Praise God for every one of them. We had young men. I'm talking about teenage boys, young men. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about guys I wouldn't mess with as a teenager. Of course, nobody would mess with me, you understand? But, yeah, you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about these young men coming forward broken and weeping and crying and asking God to do with their life whatever he wants to do with it. We had revival up there. Let me tell you one reason we had it. They were away from the world. They were away from cell phones. They were away from their iPods. They were away from all this media junk. Now, by the way, the media doesn't have to be junk. The media can be used for God. But if you turn your teenager loose because you're afraid you're going to lose them, so you're just going to let them listen to what they want to listen to, go where they want to go, date who they want to date, excuse me, you're crazy, sir. You're crazy. Now, around my house, and it's God's house, God helping me, there's going to be standards. And as long as they stick their feet under the table that God has given us, they will do as I say or else. Amen. That's unloving. Really? Does God not do the same to us? Does he or not? You do this, I'll bless you. You do that, I'll curse you and I'll whip the fire out of you. Read it for yourself in the book of Hebrews. It's time that Christian fathers understand that God's will is the supreme thing for their children. The will of God is the best thing for your kids. I had a teenager come to me this morning. I don't mind telling you who it is. It's Rachel Snodgrass. Is she in here? Yes, she came to me this morning. God worked in her heart this week. God's worked in her heart. She rededicated her life last week. We praise God for that. And I'm going to tell you something. It is time for our fathers to take the bull by the horns and say, we're going to do what God wants us to do around our house. We're going to do what God wants us to do. There's no doubt about it. And I trust that the Lord will help us all to do this. In other words, we are to put God first. Above your children, above your family, above anything else in this life. Luke 14:26 says, if any man come to me. Now here's what Jesus said. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, what is God saying? Is the Lord saying that it's his will for you to hate your kids? Is that what he's talking about here? No. This is comparative language. He's not saying if you don't hate your mom and hate your dad and hate your boy and hate your girl, you're not worthy of me. That's not what he's saying. How do we know that? Because elsewhere in Scripture, he's told you to love and honor and obey your mom and daddy. He's told you to love and honor and train your children. So you know he's not saying hate them. What's he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. When I'm sitting down and that little baby girl comes to me last night and I hold my arms out like this morning, she just runs to me. Oh, she runs to me and just lays her head on me. God says, listen, compared to your love for me, that ought to look like hate, Jody. That's strong. God's saying, hey, you know how you love them kids? You know how they melt your heart? You know how that little boy coming up to you and calling you daddy and playing with you and wanting to wrestle with you, and that little girl come up and just lay her head on you just like this? She knows how to get anything she wants at the house. Here's what God is saying in these verses. He's saying, compared to your love for me, your love for your own family should be like hate. He wants you to love your family. But he's saying when you compare your love for your family with your love for him, it makes your love for your family look like you hate them. That's strong right there, folks. Now I want to ask you a question. Spiritually speaking, with what I just said, so please don't misinterpret what I, because I just explained what I'm getting ready to ask, okay? But spiritually speaking, do you hate your children? Do you understand what I just asked? I'm saying compared to your love for God, does this look like hate? Before you answer, who's calling the shots at your house? I am! Then why aren't you here Sunday night and Wednesday night? That convicts me. Good. Because unless you cannot be here, you have no excuse. Amen. You say, I just can't come. I'm working. Fine. God knows about that. I'm sick. I can't get out of bed. God knows all about that too. I've been there this week. But if you're not coming because your children has a ball game, that's not right, folks. I'm loving on you. I know this is unpopular preaching. I know that. I understand that. But if you choose to let them go to a ball game at church time, you're putting your kid above God. Period. You say, that's wrong. Take my Bible and prove me wrong. You can't, folks. You know in your heart I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Do you know in your heart I'm telling you the truth? That's the truth. And I want to be a preacher that's going to give you the truth. And in Abraham's life, he had one son right here, his only son, Isaac. And God said, take him up and kill him. Abraham didn't hesitate. He got up early and he went and he was going to kill him. The major thought of that is this, and I've given it to you over and over again, but what a major thought it is. Who's first place in your life? Is God first? If he's not, he needs to be. Then our fourth father for today is found in the book of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter number 7. If you'll turn there with me, please. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Now look at verse number 1 of Joshua chapter 7. And then we'll skip down to verse number 19. I'm just about through. You say, good night. If you go this long feeling bad, I'd hate to see what you're doing. You're feeling good, you know. I'm actually feeling pretty good today. Thank the Lord for it. Praise God. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verses 19 and following. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed,
I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, took them. Behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. Now notice this closely. Took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the gold, and the garment, wedge of gold. Now notice this. And his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, his sheep, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. All Israel stoned him with stones. Get this, and burn them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones. Now in this story before us, we see in chapter 6, and I didn't read it in chapter 6, but in chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, I believe it is, we see how the Lord is getting ready to give them the mighty city of Jericho. This is all in chapter 6. But before he gives them the city, you know, by marching around it, you know, 7 days and then and then 7 times the seventh day. Before he does that, he gives them a command in chapter 6, verse 18. In that command, he says, don't touch anything. Don't take it for yourself. He said, because that is consecrated for the treasury of the Lord. It's his. God is saying this. When you go into the city of Jericho, keep your filthy hands off of everything. I'm going to give you the city, but I'm going to take the spoils for myself. Are you with me? You understand that? But in chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says that Achan took of this accursed thing. God said it's a curse to you in chapter 6. But Achan saw it and took it anyway. When he took it, he buried it in his tent. Now this being the case, now stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this. When he saw this, he decided to take them and hid them in his tent. And even though the children of Israel did not know about this, the Lord did. And as a result of this, I'm talking about him taking something that God told him not to take and bringing it into his home. Now I'm giving you a hint here. As a result of this, he lost his life and his children lost their lives. Now this goes to show that the children knew about it. Because under the Mosaic law, the children were not to die for the parents and the parents were not to die for the children. So we see that the children had to know about this. But here's the thought. Now listen. They would not have had to conceal it if their daddy didn't bring it home. Now here's the major lesson with daddy number 4. And that is this. The effects, we learn the devastating effects of bringing something inside the home that displeases God. Achan brought something into his home, his tent, his home, that displeased the Lord, and it had devastating effects on him and his precious children. Now it's important to realize that the Lord, now get this folks, the Lord is holding the father responsible for what is allowed inside the confines of the home. The daddy's responsible for that. Now stay with me. If he allows the things of this world, the things that displease God, if he allows those things to embed themselves inside his home, the effects will be awful. One of the best things a dad can do, now get this now. One of the best things a dad can do that we can learn from this fourth dad is he can go home and have a spiritual house cleaning and make sure that all of the junk is outside of his home. Some of these pieces of junk could be certain television programs that you allow in, certain movies that you allow in, certain music that you allow in, certain people that you allow in, certain influences that you allow in. And the world will say, you better let them have that or they're going to rebel against you. If you let them have it, you will lose your children. And the daddy needs to have a spiritual backbone about him. Now, by the way, I'm not lifting myself up. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I've never preached without my coat, I don't think. Where's Leslie Farmer at? Is she in here? She told me. She said, now, Jody, if you get hot up there, just take the coat off, throw it off. So I did it. I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good. Amen. I just hope I don't start seeing double, because Brother Scotty, that would be terrible to see two of you. You know what I mean? No doubt about it. Eddie Good's here today. Good night. Hallelujah. Let's all go to the altar for prayer, you know. Where was I going with this? Where was I at? I know where I was at. I was with this. We need some daddies who are Christians who will have a backbone enough to say, that's not coming in here. That's not coming in here. That will not embed itself in this home. Why? Because if you really love your children, you want to protect them, right? Is that right or wrong?
Right.
So when you give in to the world, you know what you're doing? You're telling your kids you really don't think too much about them. This is completely opposite of what the devil tries to whisper in your ear, isn't it? Hey, you better give them what they want. Because you give them what they want, they'll bow down and worship you. You want to bet? You want to bet? You give them everything they cry for, you're harming them. You're not helping them. There ought to be some thou shalt nots in your home. And there ought to be some thou shalts too. Why? Because fathers, you listening? You're responsible. You're going to stand before God. And when I say you, I've got three fingers pointing right back at me. I'm responsible before God what comes inside my home. Now let me go back over these four fathers. God willing, tonight I'll give you the next four. And the next four are some great lessons too. Good night, wonderful lessons. Even though I'm not 100%, I feel pretty good today. The first major father that we looked at was Noah. What's the lesson there? Make sure you're on board and make sure your family's on board with you. Why? Because judgment's coming whether you realize it or not. Amen? Second father was a man by the name of Lot. The lesson we learned from Lot is that when you move your family inside the borders of the world, you'll lose your kids, you won't gain them. It has devastating effects. Major father number three was Abraham. And the major lesson we learned there is that God is to have first place, even over your children. And when compared to your love for God, your love for your kids and your family should look like hate. Boy, that's convicting right there. Major father number four was a man by the name of Achan. And Achan brought inside his home something that sucked the life out of his own children. And may God help the fathers who listen to me right now to take the lesson, whatever God's speaking to you about right now, and do business with God with it. You know what I'd love to see this morning? I'm not trying to convince you to do this or coerce you to do this. I don't function that way. But I think it would be a great thing for several fathers to grab their children and grab their wife and say, it all starts today. It all starts now. And if you children have a daddy who's trying to serve God and lead you in a godly way, you ought to put your arms around them and you ought to say, thank you, Daddy, for having a backbone and telling me no when I don't need it. I feel like I'm about to jump off this platform. But I'm going to tell you something. What lessons we learn from just these four fathers. And may the Lord drive home the next four tonight. Amen. Let's all bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. Thank you for helping me get through this. You've answered prayer again, no doubt about it. And I praise you for it. And I pray that you help many men to do business with thee. Help ladies, children, to do business with God. May your will be done, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. First things first, and that is with the man by the name of Noah. Noah is a man that teaches us a great lesson. And that is, do you know for sure that you're on board? Do you know without a doubt that you are on board? Now I'm talking to everybody here. I'm not just talking to fathers. I'm talking to every single person. Judgment is coming. The fire is going to fall. Are you safe inside the ark of Jesus Christ? Are you born again?
do you know the Lord?
Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm inside the ark. I know I'm safe. I am a born-again child of God. If you know that, would you raise your hand, please?
You say, I don't hope so. I know so. God bless you. Thank you. Is it possible in a crowd this size that somebody's here that could not raise your hand to that? Is it possible in a crowd this size somebody's struggling with whether they're inside or outside the ark of God? Is there one here today you say, Jody, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm inside. What I mean by that is you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure you're a child of God. You're not sure that heaven is your home. Have you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I could not raise my hand saying I know for sure. But there's something in me that says, boy, I tell you one thing, I'd love to know. I'd love to know that. I really would. If that's you, would you be honest? Not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, but would you be honest? You say, Jody, pray for me. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Somebody else. You can put your hand right back down. If you put it up, put it right back down. I'm not going to come to you. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. I promise you. God bless you. Thank you. The Lord is working in this. Good night, He's working. Praise the Lord for it. Now, if you raised your hand to that question, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Now, again, there's no pressure in this. I don't believe in pressuring. But I want you to do this. If you just raise your hand to that, I want you and you only to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Would you do that? If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Don't be ashamed of this. I see you. I see you. I see you. Very good. Now, as you're looking at me, I want to deal with you tenderly. And I want you to know something. God brought you here today for a reason. Even if somebody invited you, God gave you the strength to be here. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. And I realize you might just be doubting. I don't know what it is. But this is not something to play with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Judgment's coming. It could be today. And here's an old preacher. I'm young, but I'm saying just an old-fashioned preacher who's not 100%, who God has helped me to get through this day. And He's spoken to you. I want to ask you a question. Do you know somebody sitting beside you? Do you know somebody doing that? Okay. Just keep this question in your mind. Obviously, you know somebody sitting beside you, right? You know somebody sitting beside you. You know somebody sitting beside you, do you? Right now, if you wouldn't mind to do this, if you wouldn't mind to do this, right now, that person that you know could be a daughter, could be a spouse, could be a child, a brother, sister, whoever you know. By the way, they'll be thrilled that you do this, God willing. I want you right now to poke them. Would you do that? When you get poked, if you want to do this, I want you to, if you get poked, I want you to look up here at me as well. Okay? You don't have to do this, but I'm trying to make it a little bit easier on you because I'm getting ready to have you come forward and I want this person to come with you. So if you would feel more comfortable by having somebody with you, I want you to poke them and they're going to look up at me right now. If you're looking at me right now, God is dealing with somebody who poked you. God's dealing with them. And in just a moment, I'm going to have you come with them. Because let me tell you how the devil works. The devil will do anything he can to keep them in their seat. Anything he can. And he'll whisper things, look at all these people in here. You're going to embarrass yourself. You listening? You're not going to embarrass yourself. We're going to rejoice that God is speaking to you. And you can come and know the Lord as your Savior. You understand what I'm doing? Well, I hope you understand what I'm doing. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you and help you. May God help you with this. May God help you. No doubt about it. In just a moment, it'll all make sense, but in just a moment, I'm going to have everybody to stand, not yet, but in just a moment, and I'm going to have people coming, and while others are coming, I want you, along with the person who's looking at me with you, to leave your place, come. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady. We want to take a Bible and let you know how you can know the Lord as your Savior. This is the greatest decision you can ever make, period, bar none, bar none. May the Lord help you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But God is speaking to me. It could have been through Noah, making sure your family members are on board with you. It could be Lot, that you've moved inside the borders of the world and you need to get out. It could be Abraham, that you need to put God above your family.
Or you know, it could be aching that you're allowing things in the home that you know are displeasing to God. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm a daddy. And God is speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You're a dad. You say, God is speaking to me. All over this place. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. Several hands. May the Lord help you. Have you a mother and you say, Jody, I know this is Father's Day and I'm a mother, but God is speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest lady. God bless you. Yes. Have you just say, Jody, I believe the Lord's speaking to me. You might be a teenager. You might be a child or just something else. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I believe God's dealing with me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask every one of you to respond. Why should you respond? Because it helps those who are lost to respond. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm coming down on the floor. I'm going to pray in just a moment. As soon as I say amen, if you're somebody here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want anybody looking around. This is a personal matter. And if you are being dealt with your soul, I want to ask you to leave your place. As soon as I say amen, heads will remain bowed and eyes will remain to be closed. But this is your time to come and let us take a Bible and tell you how the Lord loves you and how you can be saved. Father, take it. Use it now. Please bless this. Work and move in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place? You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm saved. Somebody poked you right now. Would you lean over to them and say, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Come on now, folks. Come on now. As he sings, may you come. As he sings, would you come, please? Come on. Come on. Come on now. Don't let the devil speak.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
I'm not sure she said.
Take thy cross and
amen. There's still time. Come on. Come on. Come on. Brother Steve. God bless you. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. God bless you. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? God help you to do this. People don't mind to step out of your way. They don't mind to step out of your way. Why don't you come? Why don't you come now? Come on. There's still time for you. May God help you with this. They're just playing through. If you raise your hand just a moment, nobody else is looking. I'm looking. I know some of these people who are up here, their eyes are open because they're praying on the altar. If you raise your hand a moment ago saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Listen, the last thing I want to do is try to pressure you into anything. I don't believe in pressuring you. I do believe in Holy Spirit conviction and He pressures. But I do not believe in trying to twist your arm to get you to come to the altar. But you know in your heart if that's you. If you just looked at me a minute ago saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. You know in your heart that you need to come and get help with this. Matter of fact, if you wouldn't mind doing this just one more time, you don't have to do this. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to do anything that I say. But if that's you, and you say, Jody, that's me, and I haven't responded yet. If that's you, if you wouldn't mind to do this one more time, would you lift your eyes and look right up here at me, please? You say, Jody, this is me. I looked at you a minute ago, and I still have not come. I want you to look right up here at me. Now, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. I'm talking to both of you. Nobody knows who I'm talking to. This is just between you and me. It's like I said, I'm going to keep my word. I am not going to press you. I'm not going to come back to your seat. I don't do that. But I am begging you. I'm literally begging you. By the way, I'm asking you to do something that I've done myself. And this is the greatest decision that you can ever make. And I'm going to ask you right now, with a tender, loving voice, These people who are beside you, I know them. They would not mind a bit to get out of your way. The folks beside you, dear sir, I know them. They would not mind a bit to get out of the way. Matter of fact, they'd welcome it. I'm going to ask you. I'm pleading with you. I hope you see this. I'm pleading with you. I wish you'd come. I know this is a little pressure in itself. I know that. But I'm just trying to make it tender and easy for you to come. I want you to come. I want you to come. Lord, may you help them to come now, I beg of you, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Mike is singing. God is speaking to you. Would you leave your place? Why don't you come now? Why don't you just come on? Why don't you just come on now and let us take a Bible, share with you how you can know the Lord. As he sings, would you come? Please, would you do this?
I'll go with him through
come on now.
The judgment.
Come on now. Come on now.
I'll go with
may the Lord help you with this.
The judgment.
May the Lord help you with this.
I'll go with him through
God,
the judgment.
To step out. Come on. Come
I'll
on. We're here to help you.
Him.
We're here to help you.
With him.
If you'll come
all
on.
All the way where he leads me, I will follow.
Where
he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
She did.
I'll go
she
with
did.
Him.
Just put her name down
with
and,
him
and her decision.
All the way. He will give me grace.
We're still dealing with one on the altar. There's still time for you.
He
the Lord's leaving the door open for you.
Me grace
may God help you.
He will give me grace and glory.
Still time for you.
And go with me, all the way. Where he leads me, I will
there's still time.
Follow.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Great. Lord's tugging at hearts, no doubt about it. We're taking a little bit of time, but we'll take time. We'll just take the time to let the Lord do his work. If you're still standing, I'd like you to sit down just a moment, please. We're dealing with folks here. Amen. Brother Steve, let's get his information if we can do that. I want you to know something. God still hears and God still answers prayer. There's no doubt about that. He's heard and answered prayer in my life today twice. Specific prayer request about what he wants me to do tomorrow. And secondly, that he had helped me through this service. And I feel good. I feel good. I may pass out when I get home, but I felt good this morning. I feel good. You know, the Lord has his ways teaching you things. He's teaching me through this. I believe the devil's been attacking my body. I'll be honest with you. I believe he's trying to stop what's going on in my heart. The Lord takes a preacher who's not even 100%, a man calling out for salvation here this morning, one for rededication. Two more who need to be saved and they know it. May the Lord help us with it. Amen. It's tender and precious when he shows up, isn't it? It's precious. I'd like for Alex Collins to stand, if you wouldn't mind, to stand. Miss Annis, if you have the strength, if you want to stand with her there. Alex is coming today and she's got assurance of her salvation and she's rededicating her life to Christ. That is a great decision. We're thrilled to have you here. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you are happy for her? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Like for Ashley, is it Pogue? Is it Pogue? Is that right? Very good. And I'd like for Zach, is it Doer? Correct? I'd like both of you to stand if you wouldn't mind to do this. Ashley came in on bus, is that 1 or 7? Bus 1. And Zach, did you ride the bus? Oh, you're here with grandparents. Wonderful. And both of them are coming today. Oh, this is Joe and Pat Shaw's grandson. Amen. They are both coming today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. How old are you? Are you married? How old are you? You're 10. You take after me, don't you? Short. Yes. Well, we're thrilled that you're coming today and trusting the Lord as your Savior. This is thrilling, isn't it? We give the Lord all the glory. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. No doubt about this. What we got here, Brother Steve? Outstanding. Let me just deal with you just a moment, because we have Joe and Teresa Duggar. Joe's trusting the Lord, and his wife is wanting to trust the Lord right now. Isn't that great? I'm on cloud 9. May literally be on cloud 9 tomorrow if I take that flight. You know? No doubt about it. You don't mind us taking time for this, do you? Surely you don't mind this. How many of y'all are going out to eat today? Would you raise your hand? Yes. How many of y'all are taking your daddy out to eat? Would you raise your hand? You're taking your dad out to eat? How many of y'all are planning on taking me out to eat? Would you raise your hand? There's a liar. Yeah, right. Liar right there. Yeah. I've never met you in my life. Right? You know me. Everybody knows me, you see. Yeah. That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we're going overtime. You don't mind that, do you? By the way, for those two precious people, and I'm keeping my word. I'm not going to point them out. I'm not going to go to them. I'm going to keep my word. Preacher ought to keep his word, right? Let me just say something to you just a moment. I'm going to be at this back door back here shaking hands. And if you want to get this settled before you leave, if you want to get it settled before you leave, it's up to you. Come out my door. Shake my hand. And I'll personally take you by myself, and I'll take you into a room and lead you to Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Except you have to spend some time with me. That's a bad thing. May the Lord help you to do that. God knows who I'm talking to. And I hope you Christians will pray that God will help these two to make that decision before they leave. Amen. I'm going to ask Joe Duggar, if you wouldn't mind to stand, sir, please. Brother Steve, if you want to stand with him there. And Joe, the best way you know how, you're coming today and you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Outstanding. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? I'm 32. So you're old. You're old. And this is your wife, correct? This is Teresa. Teresa's coming to rededicate her life to Christ. Wonderful. And Joe is coming to trust Christ as his Savior. Have you happy for all of these decisions? Would you say a big amen? No doubt about it. God's working in this church, isn't he? We want him to pick it up and put the pedal to the metal. And I trust that this service has been a blessing to you. Please be back tonight. We're going to give you 4 more fathers, and we'll give you those. And I'm thrilled that the Lord spoke to you today, my friend. Amen. Let me ask you a question. I don't ever do this, but just for the sake of those two out there, and they know who they are, would you advise them to make this same decision? Sure you would. Sure. The weight of the world has been lifted off your shoulders, haven't you? Amen. Aren't you happy for this man? This is a blessing. I appreciate your prayers for me. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed. Ask the Lord to be with us today. No doubt about it. Bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Bishop, sir, if you don't mind, to lift your voice and pray, please.